Let us open up our Bible from Luke chapter 9. I'll read to you verse 37 to 43. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seized him, and he suddenly screamed. It threw him into the convulsion so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leave him and is destroying him. I beg your disciple to drive it out, but they could not." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in the convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, O Lord, that in your word that you teach us every day how to live for you and what is your will for us, O Lord. So, Father, in this morning, I would like to commit this time unto your hand. May your word speak forth from your servant that will be a transformed life, will comfort and give strength to our members here. And Lord, you speak to each and every one of us here, O Lord. May your word go out with your power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I break it to 4 points here. Every Christian is a soldier of Christ Jesus. Do not be shaken by our situation. Have faith in Christ. Acknowledge our unbelief and ask Jesus for help. Spend time with God. So that's how to face God's enemy. First thing first, next slide. First thing first, we must know we are the soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of that? Are you a soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you just a believer? You say, "Oh no, I'm a believer. When I believe in Christ, meaning that I got all the blessing from Him, I can live a smooth life in this world, and I can have eternal life with God and have this relationship with Him." Yes, that is not all wrong. But most importantly, we also need to know we have the identity as well as the soldier. Here, Paul told Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier get entangled in civilian affair, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." You see? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. First of all, we must be strong in Christ to serve. And join me in suffering. Many of us don't like suffering. When the Bible talks about suffering, many of us will try to avoid that. We want to have Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, to help us, to prosper us, to bless us, to give us many things, to help us to be have a smooth walk in this life. Yes? Is there any different from the people who, the pagan who go to the temple to ask for a blessing? But our relationship with Christ is more than that. What God has called us is more than that. We are His children. We are His citizens. We are His people. At the same time, we are the soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier meant to fight battle, right? To serve in battlefield, to fight a war. That's why a soldier, there is only one job, which is to fight a battle. There's only one focus, which is to follow what the general command them to do. That's why he said, do not get entangled in the civilian affairs. Today, we as a Christian, are you focused only the will of the Father in everything that you do? Are you entangled by the things of the world? Are you pursuing the thing of the world? Which one are us? So, Paul told Timothy. Timothy is like a son to him. That's why he loved Timothy so much. He said to him, no one serving as a soldier get entangled in civilian affairs. So you must focus on what God's command you to do and live like a soldier. There's only one focus, is battle, is fight the enemy of God. So, and please his commanding officer. Brother and sister, let us remember that. What is our role on this earth as a Christian? We are God's calling people. And you like that. We are God's chosen people. And you love that. But when he said, we are called to suffer together with Christ. Even Christ himself suffered. Even Christ himself obeyed to the Father to the point of death on that cross. He battled the enemy. So are we to call to do so, to focus on the will of God, to fight His enemy. Second slide. That's why Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Another thing is important. As a soldier, he said, be strong in the Lord, be courageous in Him, and really have close relationship with Him. And in His mighty power, so His power is with you to fight the battle. We don't fight the battle with our own flesh. We don't fight the battle with our own strength. We fight the battle with the strength of God and the power of God. Just like David when he faced Goliath, he said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you with the army of the Lord. So, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. So know that, brother and sister, we live in this world. We are, who is our enemy? Who are we battling against? And he said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, against the authority, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. You see that? There is a spiritual force of evil in this fallen world. Is this text call us to against to fight the ruler, the government, the authority? No, in the Bible teaches us to obey, to submit, to pray for them. But here it's telling us that the spiritual force of the evils is work through these people as well to against God and His people. So it's very important for us to battle. How we battle through it? What is the sword that we use? The sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we pray for God to do mighty things. We bring the gospel to the people. As people come to know God, lesser the enemy will be around us. Lesser the influence by the evil one to the people. So, put on the full armors of God. Not your own armor, but the armors of God. So that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. Always remember, we are living in this world. It's not easy. It's struggling because there is spiritual force of evil. If you are with God, Satan will not be happy. He will fight against you. If you really live for God, persecution will come to you. Struggle will come to you. Difficulty will come to you. You might not like that's how it sounds like. You know, if you put your trust in God, the blessing will come to you. The prosperity will come to you. Abundance will come to you. Probably that you will like. But the truth is, you will have to battle. Because when you are on God's side, the enemy will not be happy. Amen. So know your enemy. Know how to fight against them. Next slide, please. So, now, how to face God's enemies? First of all, do not be shaken by our situation. Have faith in Christ. Luke chapter 37 says, on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. So I included Gospel of Mark here so that gives us a clearer picture. Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 14 to 16. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd about them and scribes arguing with them. That is the part we want to know. They are arguing with the scribe. Who are the scribe? The scribe is the people who know the law of God, the word of God. They are the one who do the copying the word of God every day. That's their profession. So they know the word of God well. And they arguing with the disciple. What the disciple was trying to do? The disciple, there was this boy, the brother bring to the disciple and ask the disciple to cast out the demon in the boy. Right? But they describe arguing with the disciple. And immediately, how do we know that? He said, immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran out to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? She said, what are you discussing with them? They kept quiet. They kept quiet. The scribe arguing. My question is, this scribe have so much knowledge of God, they know the word of God. But at that moment, what they do? Instead of with compassionate heart pray for that boy, cast out the demon, they're arguing with the disciple who's trying to help the boy. You see? Instead of with compassionate heart, they know the word. You would think they know God, but they don't. There's no compassionate heart in them. So, with knowledge, not necessarily that you know God. But you have to know God and His knowledge. And let this knowledge and knowing of God transform your heart so you are with compassion. You see, at this case, they did not help, but they disturbed the disciple from helping the boy. And the problem here, this disciple, when they face this group of scribes, you know, the disciple, they are nobody. They are fishermen. They are not well educated. They follow Jesus. So when this like guru of the law and come to this argue with them, they are shaken in their faith. They are shaken. How do we know that? Next slide, please. You see, that's why he said, in this part, he said chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, verse 38 to 40. And behold, a man from the crowd cried, teacher, I beg you to look upon my son, for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seized him, and he suddenly cried out. It convulses or shake him till he foams, and shuttle him, and will hardly leave him. And I beg your disciple to cast it out, but they could not. They could not cast it out. Why? Jesus answered, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." Here, Jesus laments, "O faithless and perverse generation." He's talking about the disciple and the people who argue with them. He said, "Faithless, I have been with you for so long. Why are you still don't trust me? Why are you still have no faith?" And perverse generation, here the meaning is twisted generation. The people who know the word of God, yet their mind is twisted, their heart is twisted. They do not know God. He said, "How long am I to be with you?" Jesus knows. Not a few days later, he will go up to the cross. And he said, "How long am I to be with you and bear with you?" He's lamenting for them. "Until today, you have been following me for two plus years and you still don't have faith that you can do this. And you let these people shake you." Next slide. In the beginning of the chapter, chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, Jesus has given the disciple power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure disease. That's why when Jesus said that, "Oh, faithless," he didn't just say, "How come you cannot do it?" No, he said, "I already gave you the power and the authority to drive out all demons and to cure disease. Why you still have no faith to do so?" And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 18 to 20, look at verse 19. The disciple came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Jesus said to them, "Because of your little faith." Little faith, aspistia, unbelief or faithless. It's not your faith is small. It's your unbelief and you are faithless. "So, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." So we know the disciple was shaken. Their faith was shaken. They become unbelief. They have doubt in their heart. And Jesus said, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed." So now he's not talking about how big and how small of the faith. Here you might think, "Oh, big faith, small faith, even a mustard seed faith, small faith." No. A mustard seed, although it's very, very small. What kind of plant a mustard seed will flourish to, will grow? A mustard plant, a mustard tree, right? Can a mustard seed will grow a coconut tree? Yes or no? No. Would a mustard seed will grow a mango tree? A jackfruit tree? A mustard seed will only grow a mustard tree. Mustard plant. So when you have a faith, and you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, that means you know this seed will grow to a mustard plant. You know for sure when you take this seed and you plant it. Yes? So the kind of faith when you know Jesus, when you know God, and you know His promises, when you know He loves you, when you know what He would do, and you pray according to that promises, your faith based on His word, His promises, and you know it will exact, God will exactly do
that, and that will exactly happen. Just like a seed of mustard seed will grow to a mustard plant. That is faith. We need to have that kind of faith, the firm belief. Firm belief and knowing. This faith comes from God. His faith comes from knowing God. It's not your own faith. You don't sit there and say, I have faith, I have faith, I can do this, I have faith. No, it doesn't. You cannot ooze out your faith. It's by knowing God. Just like when there is a thin ice and you walk, you want to walk through that thin ice, you step on it, you say, I have faith, I can walk through it. Boom. The thin ice crash. Right? But if you know that ice, if you know the place, if you have knowledge of it, and you walk on it, you'll be okay. So, that kind of faith, that's why the Bible says, faith comes from what? Listening to the Word of God. Listening to the Word of God. You must read His Word. You must listen to His word. You must know Him and what He said. Like Peter, when Jesus walked on the water, Peter was so excited when he saw Jesus walk on the water. He's like, wow, that is so cool. And he said, Lord, if this is you, can I walk to you? Can I walk on the water too? And Jesus said, yes, come. And Jesus jumped off the boat and walked on the water. Peter was very smart. He didn't just jump off the water and start walking. He said, Lord, if that is you, can I come to you? Can I walk on the water? And Jesus said, yes. Then Peter jumped off that boat and walked on the water. So faith comes from listening to the Word of God and know His promise, know His will. And when that's how we walk according to His will, a seed of a mustard seed will grow a mustard plant. So Jesus have gave them the power and the authority to drive out all demons. Yet they were shaken. They were shaken. They have doubt. Instead of trust Jesus, they are shaken by their situation. They are doubting by what the scribes say to them, argue with them. Next slide. Now, this is very interesting. I name here acknowledge our unbelief and ask Jesus for help. This is very interesting. In Luke chapter 42a, it said, while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in the convulsions, but Jesus rebuilt the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 21 to 24, give us a much more detail here. He said, and Jesus asked his father, how long has he had this? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. Wow, interesting. He said, if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. And Jesus' reply is just amazing. If you can? And Jesus said, are you saying that if I can? Do I have the ability to do that? You kidding me? If you can, you ask me that, if you can. But the reply is amazing. All things are possible to him who believes. If you believe that I can, if you have faith in me and know that I can, if you know who I am, all things, and you would know all things are possible for God to do. Today, brother and sister, do we see that? Do we believe God in such a way? And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. This boy, the father of this child, quickly acknowledged it. I believe, help my unbelief. He is very honest, acknowledging his unbelief. You see, Jesus would not look down on this father that there is unbelief in him. Jesus will not say, oh, yeah, you don't have enough faith. You know, yeah, there is part of unbelief in you, so this cannot happen, sorry. No. When he acknowledged that, that is sufficient. Help me with my unbelief. And our Lord healed that boy and gave him back to his father. Today, many of us, and I want to address to especially those who are serving here for a long time, who are Christian for a long time, especially the leaders. Sometimes it's very hard for us to acknowledge our flaw, acknowledge our weakness, acknowledge our sin even. Because it's like, oh no, I'm a pastor, you know, I'm a leader. I cannot acknowledge that, or else they would look at me. Even before God, we couldn't acknowledge it. And for those who are Christian for a long time, sometimes we forgot that we can be vulnerable before God. There's no shame to it. He is God. We are nobody. But He loves us. And we can trust Him. That's why every first week of the Sunday of the month when we partake the Lord's Supper, don't just take that cup, but remembrance of our Lord, and drink it and eat it without remembering our Lord. Remember what? Remember your sins are forgiven. Remember He has made a covenant with you. Remember He loved you. He died for you on the cross. Remember that. So there's no shame. You come before God and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my little faith. Help me, Lord. I remember about back in 2011, from my former church, my pastor asked me to preach a sermon about faith. You know, being a corporate person, you're very good in motivating people. It's one of our most important jobs is when we try not to give them a promotion or bonus. We will say the thing to encourage them to continue work hard. That is an amazing skill that any management need to process with. So when the pastor asked me to preach, I was like, that's easy. I wrote my sermon, you know. Wow, it looks really good. How to encourage people and all that. After I finished my sermon, I read it again and again. Suddenly, there is a conviction in my heart. I don't know what is faith. I have no idea. I preach about faith, but in me, I really cannot have this reality and true understanding about faith. At that time, I kneeled down before God and said, Lord, I really don't know. How am I going to preach? I don't know about faith. I can talk about it. I can say a lot of things about it. But I don't know what it is. I don't know how to live by it. I don't know how to walk in faith. I can talk about faith. And I pray and I cry out to the Lord. You know, before the sermon, 2 months later, down the road, our Lord said this. I felt He impressed in my heart. Everyone who has a bank account can say they love me? Is your security is on your bank account or is on me? Where is your security rely on? Your money, your bank account, or on me? Then I understand what God is saying. You need to trust Him completely. Him and Him only. And from that day onward, after that, I've been living not trusting my bank account, but God alone. And God has provided so far. And I understand what it means by walk in faith, to trust Him, to know who He is, to know what He can do. And you surrender yourself completely into His hand. When God called me to serve in Miri, the church was only have 16 over people in the Mandarin congregation. They told me, "Pastor, we love to have you, but we don't know if we can pay you. Our weekly tithe offering is 300 plus." So I told them, if God want me to go, I will go. You see, as a soldier, you don't choose which battle to fight. You don't choose which war to go. Oh, this one I can win, so I go. This one I'll lose, I won't. You just follow the order of the general, say go, and you go. Even if you're going to die at that battlefield, you go. So true enough, God never shortchanged me. Later, the weekly tithe offering from 300 to 900 a week, and then to 1,500. And the congregation from 16 and continue to grow. 3 years later, we have about 70 over people. Our CUG, when we first started, there's only a few of us for the discovery. I remember there was one meeting. There was Brian, White Kid, Shervin, Marcus, and we were like, "Hey, Pastor, do we still meet? There's only a few of us." So I told them, if you all still remember, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's plenty of us. Let's meet. So we met. And today, last Sunday, we have 30 over people in that Bible study. Praise the Lord. Lord, our Lord is trustable. Do not be afraid. Acknowledge our unbelief. Surrender to God. And know who He is and ask for Himself. Amen? Next. Spend time with God. Here, you see, Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. In Mark here, you say, "And when he had entered the house, his disciple asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer.'" So what Jesus is trying to say, you were shaken. You need to refocus back to God. You need to come to God in prayer. Look to Him. Spend time with Him to strengthen your faith. Tell Him about your unbelief so that He can help you to believe. Brother and sister, looks like a simple thing, but we ask ourselves how much time we spend in prayer to seek God, to spend time with God. Remember this. To be the soldier of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. If we don't spend time with Him, we won't be strengthened. We will have no strength to fight the battle, to fight God's enemy. We will have no power to live a Christian living. We must spend time with Him in prayer, in reading His Word, in knowing His promises. Next slide, please. I would like to see here the good news. The disciple in chapter 10, in Luke chapter 10, what happened? The 72 returned with joy and say to Jesus, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Hallelujah. Amazing. They learn. They spend time. They pray. They fast. Now, they cast out demons in Jesus' name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snake and scorpion and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your name are written in heaven. And at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, say, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden this thing from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Reveal them to little children. Their faith like a little children. Their trust. A little children, you see, they're very trusting to the adult, to their parents. They don't question. You know, you give them milk, they won't doubt about, is this milk good or bad? What brand it is? You walk them across the street, they'll follow you, right? They'll trust you with everything. So, as we walk with Christ, we need to be like that little children. We trust God for everything in our life. How we walk, how we live, what we do. We trust Him in every situation. And when we do that, and when we live like that as a soldier to fight the battle, to fight the enemy, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. With that kind of faith and trust in Him, we will do great things for Christ. We will be able to fight off the enemy, and we will be able to fight every battle. Brothers and sisters, it is my prayer for all of us in Pantai Baptist Church. We trust Him. We have faith in Christ. We humble ourselves before God and we say, Lord, help me with my unbelief. We live like a soldier for His glory, for His kingdom. Because there's no other way. If you are a Christian, you are a soldier of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have teaches us to let us know our identity as your people, as your children, as your citizen, and as your soldier. You teach us how to fight the battle. So we live a Christian life that is full of power from you, that is full of strength in you. And let us focus not to entangle,
by the things of this world. So, Father, let us all commit ourselves into your hand. Help our unbelief so that we can all continue to be strengthened and believe and trust in you and live a victory Christian living for your glory and for your kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.